Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Michael Tucker with the Real Estate Success Strategies podcast. I'm so excited again because we have another great individual on the podcast with us. We have Jordan Moody. Jordan, welcome to the platform, dude. How's it going?
Hey, living the dream. Pumped to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so excited you're here. I just got connected with Jordan a couple weeks ago, and we're actually getting ready to create a partnership. That's what I call it, because we're expanding markets and we're taking our flipping business to Indianapolis, and that's where Jordan's located. So I got connected with Jordan a few weeks back, and dude, this guy is a joy to be around. Every time I talk to him, it's just like he's a bundle of joy. So it's cool to be around you. But just to give you guys a quick rundown about who Jordan is, he is a real estate agent with Keller Williams up in Indiana, and this dude is crushing it. Him and his team do millions and millions in sales every year. And you haven't been doing this long, have you?
Yeah, so we got started 5 years ago was my first day in the business. And we've kind of scaled. When I first got started, I was the rookie of the year, and that kind of snowballed into hiring my first assistant. I was about a year and a half in the business when I did that. And then I added a second assistant last year, and we just hired a buyer's agent this year as well. So we went from a team of one to a team of four over about a 5 year period. So.
Wow. You guys are growing, and it's cool. I brought Jordan on because today I want to talk about utilizing partnerships between agents to grow your business. So there's a lot of people out there. You want to buy rentals, you want to flip properties. Listen, partnering with real estate agents can be a great way to grow your business. So Jordan, you heard it himself. He's growing his business. And that's why I want to be surrounded with people like Jordan. And I brought Jordan on here because he's an investor himself. So not only is he an agent, but he also invests himself. But Jordan, I'm going to let you tell your story, dude. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Before you were in real estate, dude, who were you, or who are you, I guess we should say? And just tell us your story, dude.
Yeah, I love it, man. Well, thank you. So I got started, I went to college, and this is a funny, quick backstory. I was a communications major, and okay. I went my senior year thinking, I took a bunch of dance classes, okay? So I really thought I was going to perform on cruise ships and, you know, do musical theater around the world, stuff like that. And my senior year, I found out I was going to have to take an extra semester to graduate with communications. And I was like, I'm not spending that kind of money for that degree. So they were like, you could do that, or you could graduate this year if you took two classes that were dance related. You could be a dance business major. Wow. So I have a degree in dance business, which now I'm in real estate. So I guess I don't think I really use it. I'm not doing much dancing anymore anyway.
Hey, maybe at the closing table when you guys are closing deals, you do some dances, right?
That's right. That's right. I love it. I was performing regionally, just kind of traveling around doing shows around the Midwest. I was in a movie with Cary Elwes, Saw and Twister and Princess Bride, like some of those movies. So it was like I lived out my dream of being in like a B/C level horror movie. Like it did not do well, but it was super fun to be a part of it. So I did that for a while, and then I met my beautiful wife. She hired me to choreograph a musical that she was directing, because she was a music education teacher. She was my boss back then, and now she's our director of operations, so she's still my boss. So that's been kind of a fun journey, but yeah, exactly. So and the other thing is I was working nights all the time because our shows would always, I was always in equity houses. So our shows would always be Tuesday through Sunday in the evenings. And mm-hmm. like the only time I could do a date night was on Mondays, and I thought that was whack. So, so I went into real estate where I'd have more flexibility, and the joke's on me because then I started working like 70 hour weeks for the next few years. So that's the little background that got me into the business.
Well, tell us, man, how did you get from dance business choreography, and what got you into real estate? Like, was it just a straight jump into it? You just needed a job, or what did that look like?
That's a great question. I probably should have transitioned that better, but I was always interested in real estate. So I read this is kind of funny, but when I would be backstage at shows and stuff, I had like the book on flipping houses by Jay Scott, the book on estimating rehab costs. I was reading a lot of Bigger Pockets books, things like that. So I was just kind of getting immersed in it. And I thought back then I was going to flip houses or be, I just kind of thought I was going to flip houses. So I actually got a job kind of interim. I was between shows. So I got hired on a construction crew. And I found out pretty quickly that these risks were not meant for building houses. They're meant for selling houses.
You and me both, man. You and me both.
So I did. I worked construction for about 6 or so months, and it was just it was grueling. It was tough. I was the grunt. Like, I'd just carry around 4x8 sheets and just get ripped around in the wind because I weigh about 140 with a wet shirt on. So anyway, I just it wasn't for me, and I always wanted to be in real estate. And someone said, you know, you should try real estate. You know, you connect with people well, and you know, that might be a good asset for you in the industry. And it's been a huge blessing ever since.
Well, that's awesome. So how'd you pull your wife into this, if you don't mind me asking? Like, was that pretty easy to do, or?
You know, she actually, she taught choir for 8 years. And she was, she's phenomenal. Like, one of the best teachers. It's so cool too, because to this day, kids will still, you know, I've actually sold a lot of her kids' houses.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But they always talk about how, you know, she impacted their life and changed their lives. So she was so good. She was awesome at what she did. And I think that over time, it wasn't the right fit for her anymore, you know? And so she was ready to just try something new and something different. And we were busting at the gills at the time. And I needed someone to come on quick. So we basically just framed it up at, you know, once she finished out the school year, she'd get her license. And back then we thought that we'd work, you know, side by side on everything together. And since then we realized that I'm not as good at letting loose of some of that control. So, but she's our director of operations, handles our admin staff and everything in back of the house. So,
well, that's awesome. Well, dude, I'm very glad you gave us all that update, man. I never fully heard your story, so it's cool to hear, you know, just where God's taken you over time. And I want to talk a lot about, you know, how you work with investors, because whenever we connected, you talked about, hey, we work with a lot of investors to help them find, you know, houses that, you know, they can flip, they can rent out. And so I want to talk a little bit about that first. But what are the advantages of working with a real estate agent? So there's tons of people that they have a list of wholesalers they get properties from, or they're trying to go out there and use bandit signs or all this different ways of marketing. But what are the advantages of partnering with a real estate agent? Like, what have you seen the advantages are?
Yeah. Well, I would say there's no reason not to do everything that you're talking about and then supplement that for having an agent on, you know, your, I guess, that you partner with for when things hit the market, things like that. A couple of reasons. One, for pocket listings and listings before they hit the market, are off-market transactions, things like that. I think last year alone, I want to say we did maybe at least a handful of investor deals where we were just like, hey, seller has a house that needs a lot of work. You know, I don't think it would perform super well on the open market. Would you be interested in picking it up? And they say, yep, let's do it. We just merged that together. And that never even hit the market, right?
Oh, wow.
And with that, you know, we have to have, first of all, you have to do it legally. And secondly, you got to make sure that the seller understands that. So we say, you know, hey, I've got an investor. I bought, you know, he's bought 10 houses with me, right? And, you know, he takes it as is. He's not going to jerk you around in the process. You don't have to have people coming in and out of your house constantly telling you that they hate the smell of smoke, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a no-nonsense way to get this transaction done. So you can either choose, would you like to put it on the market and test it and see what happens? Or would you rather go with the guarantee, quick, easy process with the cash buyer? And that's something that, again, we can put together. And I think that brings massive value, because that's a deal they never would have got, right? Because we came to them first. So that's a big one. I would also say, one thing that I like is, you know, a lot of, I guess, investors will say, well, I'll just go to the list agent, right? They'll cut their commission and like, I'll get a better deal because I'm doing that. I really don't think that's the case. And the reason I say that is because who does that agent work for, right? They work for the seller. And who decides what the commission's going to be? The seller. Right. So really, like, a lot of times buyers will come to me and they'll be like, you know, like, you'll cut your commission and, like, you know, we'll do this. And I'm like, you know, I don't, are you telling me that I'm going to cut my commission? Like, what? You know, so it's just one of those things where maybe that does happen sometimes. But more often than not, what you're going to get is a conflict of interest. It gets messy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you don't have anybody really working for your best interest in the transaction. So for me, I think another big thing is if you have somebody on your side that can really go for the throat on negotiations and making sure that you get what you need out of the process and that you're represented well, I mean, that'll make itself, you know, worthwhile in spades as you go through the process. So,
yeah, that's
so those key. Are and a couple.
And I can even think of just all of those ways you've talked about have helped me tremendously. Like, everything you're talking about, it's so golden, man. And even, like, there's tons more, guys. Realtors are a great way to get comps. You know, you guys are out there. Yep. Some of you guys, especially if you're newer in the industry, you're just trying to get off the ground. You have a hard time. Hey, I don't know what this house would sell for after renovation. Or, hey, I don't know what this house is really worth right now. Let's say that you have one you found off market. Listen, partnering with a real estate agent, they can run those comps for you and find those past sales. They have access to the MLS, the, you know, the software you need to find, you know, the most recent updated comps, sales, and stuff like that. So, man, are there any other tools that or that agents use that, you know, maybe a regular investor wouldn't have?
Oh, for sure. I think you bring up a great point about comps and industry expertise, things like that. One thing I would say along the lines of industry expertise, the market is ever changing and evolving every single year. So a lot of times I'll have an investor will say, you know, this is what I'd like to do. And I'm like, well, this is, now we have to sign a COVID addendum and it says this, and, you know, here's why we need to do this. And like a week ago, there was a mistake. And now, like, in like whoever passed this bill, there was some mistake in how it was written. And now you have to have a witness and a notary at every closing now. And it's just, that's how it is in Indiana anyway. So there's just, you know, every year the purchase agreement has changed and something's added. It used to be 2 pages, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Now it's like 8-9 pages long, right? So there's always things being changed. You have to know what's going on in the market. So that's also helpful because there's a lot of things. It depends on your market, obviously, but the purchase agreement, these addendums that are attached to it, they can be written up in ways that either very favor the seller or the buyer. So you need to have an agent who understands all of that, as well as what's going on in the market right now. Because, I mean, that is a huge deal. Like you talked about being able to comp properties and find the, you know, the prices. We get it all the time where they say, what's the value of the house now? What's the after repair value? What would it rent for? And they, you know, those are things that we're able to look up and provide because we do it every single day. So you could spend hours pouring through this stuff to find out that information, or you could just call a good local expert and they'll be able to get it to you in 15, 20 minutes because we analyze these deals all day long.
Yeah, so, and I like that. Prime example. So we're, like I said, we're going to be partnering with Jordan and his team, Lord willing, whenever we expand to Indianapolis this fall. And you know what? I don't know the Indianapolis market. Like I've been doing some research. I've been, you know, I have some contractors that are up there working and stuff, but I'm not going to know the market like Jordan does. Jordan's there every day. He's working in and out. He knows all the good streets, the bad streets, the good neighborhoods, the bad neighborhoods. He's probably going to be like, Michael, you don't need that house. Like, you don't buy in that little part there. You know, so utilize their expertise like he was saying. But I want to make this clear. Not every agent is investor friendly. I say that because not every agent knows how investors function and how they work, the mind process. And I brought Jordan on today because he is an investor himself. Do you own rental properties? Do you flip? What do you currently do right now, Jordan?
Yeah, great question. So we have 7 units currently. We're working on, we're going to renovate. We had a triplex where we figured out how we can convert the garage to another unit, get a different egress exit for the rest of the, you know, the spaces in the building. So that's exciting. So we'll be, I guess, going from 7 to 8 here soon as we get that project underway. But yeah, we focus mostly on small multifamily, is kind of what our path is. We have a single family property that does really well for us, and we have two triplexes right now, and that one triplex is going to be converted to a quad. That's kind of our background. And I've had, I would say this to your point about, having someone who knows something about the investment experience, I've had to evict tenants. I've had to get, I've had the cops called on my tenants, I've had to,
all the fun stuff,
everything, right? Like we've had all the different situations. And so I've learned a lot. And the good thing is now these people don't have to experience what I experienced, because I can tell them, this is how you need to have a lawyer draft up this kind of a lease for you. And you need to make sure this provision is in here. And we're able to advise them on things that, they would know through trial and error. And we've already done that. Exactly. So that is, to your point, a good thing to help. So.
Yeah, definitely. So, and that's one thing that I think I struggled with at first, because I knew some realtors, were kind of close, friends and stuff, but none of them had real estate experience. So once you find those guys, build relationships with them, give value. If they're going to be doing all this work for you, if you're going to list a property, say, hey, would you like to list the property for me? Or just try to figure out some agreement to where you're not always taking, but you're adding value as well. But dude, I got a question for you real quick. How does somebody go about finding an investor-friendly agent? How do they go about, going and finding that person if they have no connections at all?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I may flip the script a little bit on this one, because I guess for one, it depends on where you're at in your career, right? I think if you are a young, just getting started in the investment field, you probably want to find someone who absolutely knows the ins and outs of all things investment real estate, because they're going to need to handhold you and make sure you understand what's going on. If you are the type that, you're using the agent because they can facilitate the process, but you know the inspection in and outs and, the different things on the leases, you have a lot of experience, to be honest, I would want somebody that's young and hungry, that's a go-getter. I wouldn't go after the top dog, because you may find somebody that owns 100 properties, owns a property management company and, whatever. But if you're like, hey, this property just hit the market today, we'd love to go take a look, is that dude going to go show you? Probably not, because he's got a lot going on with everything that's happening. So I really skinned my teeth when I got into the industry 5 years ago. I worked with a ton of investors because I didn't have anything going on. So I was like, oh, you want to buy this like super cheap duplex that's about to fall down? I'll be there in an hour. I would bust it to try to take care of all of our investor clients. And we still work with investors, so I don't want to say that that's not the case. But I would say there's something to be said about finding that young, energetic, go-getter type. Like, I think that'll serve some of the more experienced agents better than going for another experienced investors, trying to find the top, tier agent to go through things. So that's my personal opinion on it, because, back then when I was learning, a lot of these investors kind of taught me some things that I didn't know. I didn't know how to evaluate rent rates. I didn't know all these different things, but they did. And they just wanted someone that would be able to jump for them and, do well by them. So I would say that. And then the last thing I'll say is, you were mentioning about, going out of market, right? Like, you're going to Indianapolis and, may not know that market super well. You definitely want somebody that's going to be able to get there, do the walkthroughs for you, send you some videos on things. Like, we work with a ton of out-of-state investors, and that's part of our value to them is, when a property comes up, sure, we could write a site unseen offer and we'll do that for you if that's what you choose. But if you want, we can go through and give you a play-by-play on everything. Do the windows need replaced? How old is the roof? Are there any dips in the floors? How's the plumbing? Has the electrical panel been updated? Man. What's the year on the furnace? What's the year on the AC? Right? So we go through and we get all of that. So then when you get our clips of our video walkthroughs, you can actually figure out your numbers on it, pretty quickly, as opposed to, not really knowing what's going on with the house. So I think those are a couple of things that, I would say would be important as you're looking for an agent to help investors in your area.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. That's so crazy. And it's cool because as you're listening to this, in the months to come, I'm going to be sharing my journey of, partnering with Jordan and all that. I'm going to be sharing in our private Facebook group. If you haven't joined, by the way, it's called the Real Estate Success Group. in there. I share my journey. I bring on guests, and we just really use that group to share real life experience in real estate so you guys can grow your business. So make sure you click the link below and join that. But I'm so excited because everything we're talking about right now is something that we're going to be implementing into our businesses, into my business as well. So I hope you guys can learn through that. So make sure you join that group. But you guys can find agents anywhere, like investor, you know, where I like to find investor friendly agents at is RIA meetings. If you can get to like an investment meetup or an investment group that meets, you'll find a lot of agents there as well. Agents that maybe are investors, like Jordan was saying, people that are hungry, they want to get out there, they want to network with other people. So make sure you guys, I know right now we're in the COVID time, right? Where there's no really physical meetups, but there's like our local meetup here, we're doing online networking events. So try to, you know, get in many of those as possible, because those could be the connections that take you to your next step in your and the real estate journey. So anyways, just wanted to throw that in there. But I want to end this out with some, you know, just fun conversation about your investment journey. I want to kind of just pick your brain. You said you had some evictions and stuff, but before we do that, I had a question for you. We were talking about building relationships with an investor-friendly agent. How do you build a quality relationship? I know this may be a hard question, it may be a little tricky, but how do you build a quality relationship with an agent as an investor? Like what can we do personally, I guess, from your perspective, what can we do to add value to you? Because that's what we want to do, is we want to serve other people as investors. So how can we serve you, man? That's a deep question, I know, but just some thoughts.
No, I think that's great. What I would say is obviously valuing our time is kind of a big thing. I think I get this call all the time where somebody's like, hey, I'm a new investor. You know, I'm looking to buy 5-6 properties this year in the area. You know, we'll make it worth your while because we're going to do all of this business in the future. Right. And then we show, you know, run them around, show them a bunch of houses, lowball offers, nothing ever goes through. And then they don't, like, they never end up buying anything, but they promise they're going to buy 6 houses this year. And, you know, so I would say that's something to keep in mind is, you know, you can analyze deals on the back end very well nowadays, right? Like you can look at the numbers, you can look at the income that's coming from it and figure out what, you know, returns, does it fit your bill on returns? You know, is the cash on cash good? Is it going to cash flow enough every month for you? Like whatever your return, like whatever that is, make sure that you look at those numbers on the front end, and we don't just pop around for anything and everything. But for the ones that you say, you know what, this actually could be a pretty good deal, let's go take a look at this, not every single house that hits the market. So I think that's super important. And then to your point about like loyalty, obviously if they want to list something in the future, that makes a big difference. We had a situation this year where I'll tell you this, and these people hooked me when I was young and first got in the industry. I listed a duplex that was super cheap and run down, and these buyers from out of state called me and they bought it, and they said, you know, hey, it looks like you know this area and do some business here. And I was like, of course I do. Yeah, sounds great. And they were like, well, look, we're just going to pay you $2,000 today, and we just want you to find us deals. And I was like, I was young and didn't know any better. And I was like, that sounds great. Let's do it. So then I went out and I found a ton of deals for these guys. So I'm not saying you need to go out and pay agents, you know, a couple thousand dollars to make them do their job. But as a young, you know, guy in the industry and, you know, just trying to get my foot in the door, that was a great opportunity for me. And I probably brought them, I would say, 6 deals within like a 3 or 4 month window, and they bought every single one of them. Right. Wow. And then, you know, so that was kind of something that was nice. And they also did this, which I think is a good tip. They will guarantee me a minimum commission. So they'll say like, look, I know you're buying $50,000, or, you know, you're helping us buy $50,000 houses, and you're running around town doing all this work, and, you know, you're not making a ton of money. We'll guarantee that we'll get you 3.5% on every transaction. Like, if you find something that's off market, like you just procure something, we'll give you 3.5% for putting that together. If the seller's offering 3% or 2.5%, you want to, and you do that deal for us, we'll pay the extra percent or 0.5% to make sure you get 3.5. Right. That gives me a ton of incentive to call them first, to be out bird dogging for them constantly and trying to send them properties and get deals together, because I know they're loyal to me. They guarantee me they're going to give me the certain commission, you know? So that's something that I think would be huge. And if the money, like, you also have to think about it like this. If you're buying a $50,000 property or even a $150,000 property, as long as the spread makes sense, like what's that difference going to be? Like an extra $2,000 or $3,000? Like as long as the numbers make sense on that, then you, would I pay $3,000 for a deal that's going to cash flow me $250, $300 a month all day long? I'd pay an extra $3,000 for that because that's, that would be great for me because that fits my model and what I need. So that's it, is you just need to let people know what's important to you and then make sure you reward them for, you know, doing that for you. So yeah, hopefully that may help.
Oh no, that's question. That's great, man. That's cool. So guys, make sure you value the real estate agent. You know, just don't take advantage of them. You know, they're there, they're here to help you, but you also need to be there to help them. So man, that's golden, dude. Cause there's so many times we go out there and I feel like, as new investors, you know, we think that's their job, you know, and that's what agents have to do. They have to go out and show us 20 or 30 properties, but dude, everything you said is just golden. So value their time and find ways to give back because, you know, when you build those relationships, I feel like over time, it's going to be so much more rewarding when you actually take time and not just with agents, whenever you take time and build quality relationships with the homeowners, whenever you build those quality relationships with the contractors, whenever you take time and really pour into the right people, that's when you're going to see your business flourish. So that's just another side note for you all, because I think it's important that, you know, we're in this business to do it right. We're not here to treat other people wrong. We're not here. Well, I'm not anyways. And I, that's why I try to encourage people, you know, we're here to do business with dignity, with respect. And so guys, this is a good conversation right here. But dude, let's end this out with some questions, dude. What's the craziest thing? So you said you had some crazy stuff happen. What's some crazy thing? What's the craziest thing that's happened to you as an investor? Not as we'll go. Well, let's ask it this way: as an agent and an investor. Okay, I want to hear some stories.
Yeah, I'm not sure how G-rated this podcast is or anything like that. I'll keep it clean on the situation. But as an agent, you run into all kinds of stuff because you're just showing people's houses, going into their homes and things like that. One time I scheduled the final walkthrough. So that's when we just want to make sure the inspections were done right. Everything's ready for closing the next day, things like that. And I walked in the front door and there are two cars parked in the driveway. It's a vacant house. Okay. And I walked in and I heard some like commotion going on in the bathroom and it's literally a vacant house, right? There's no one here or there shouldn't be anyone there. And I was like, what's going on here? And I like went and knocked on the door and the shower was running. And I heard two voices in there. They're like, oh, wait, shh, shh, be quiet. And I was like, hey, I'm the agent. We're doing a final walkthrough. And there were two people in the shower. You can use your imagination. And that's what we ran into as we were trying to do our final walkthrough. So, I mean, I've seen, that's just one of a thousand different things that we've seen while walking through houses. But yeah, that's the agent side of stuff. So
that's a fun thing about real estate. You know, you just never know what you're getting into, you know.
For sure. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, as an investor, what's the craziest thing, man?
So we had, you know, our journey has been very interesting getting into real estate. We bought, my attitude's ready, fire, aim. Like I just, if I want something, I'm just going to do it. Like I don't.
In the same way.
I don't have analysis paralysis. I'm just going to do it.
Dude, we'll figure it out later. Then. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. If I want something, I'm just going to get it and I'll figure out the details later. So anyway, we bought a foreclosure and it was, that was our first single family. And I mean, you know, the budget, the rehab went really well. It came in under budget. We got someone rented immediately. We got more in rent than I planned. They've been there ever since we did that, like 3 years ago now. We're signing the third lease with them. so anyway, that one's been fantastic, right? Performed super well for us. It cash flows like a dream. So I was like, dude, I'm so good at this investment stuff. Like, let's just keep going. Like, I'm on a freaking roll. So anyway, someone called me and they were like, hey, I know you own the house next door. I have the triplex right across the alley. Would you like to buy it? And I was like, absolutely, let's do it. So I put together that thing and I inherited three tenants on that property. Well, obviously we learn as we go how inherited tenants go. I learned that I didn't do a background search on those tenants because I was like, I'm getting them. Like, what am I going to do? Tell them to evict his tenants? Like, I don't know. So I guess I'll just take the house and figure it out later. Well, if I would have ran a background search, I would have found a few evictions on this guy's history that we had. But anyway, It went really well for a good while. And then he got in a situation where I think he quit his job is what happened. And then he started, he was on, I think, heart medication or some sort of medication. He did not sleep for like 10 plus days is what I was told. Oh, so wow. He kind of like snapped, right? So he just was literally delusional. And in the span of about 2 weeks, the cops called me like three times. They arrested him two times and had to come pick him up from different areas because he was doing crazy stuff. At one time, he was in the middle of the night. My tenant from across the street called me and said, "Hey, the neighbor's running around naked, throwing rocks at your house, and he has a shovel in his hand and he's yelling like it's like curse words at me." Because I had at this point said like, "Hey, I need you to stop getting arrested. Like, you right. know, this is a peaceful community. I can't have the cops coming every night." So I like ended up doing like, "Hey, if you break the lease one more time, we're going to evict you." And sure enough, he did. So we ended up evicting him. But yeah, he was just running around naked, cussing me out with the shovel in his hand. And like, yeah. And then
I've never heard that one before. So that's pretty interesting.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then during the eviction process, I was at like a nice dinner with my my wife and her family, and I got like three calls in a row from the tenant's girlfriend, and I was like, "I'm so sorry, guys, I got to step out." And he had ripped off the cabinet doors in the kitchen, and he had punched a bunch of holes in the wall, and he took a hammer and was slamming holes in the wall. And so, yeah, so then I had to deal with all of the damage deposits and things like that afterwards. So, like I said, that one was – I learned – so much. And I actually did the eviction myself, which is another good quick tip for people. You can hire a lawyer to handle all of it for you for like $300, $400 in Indiana anyway. And I just went to the courthouse myself just to learn. And I just did it myself. And I've learned so much about it. Now, you know, if someone starts giving me grief, I can say, "Look, I've evicted somebody before. I'm not afraid to do it again. I know the whole process." So anyway, awesome. There's the investment story for you. So,
well, guys, if you ever thought about owning rentals, maybe now you don't want one. I'm just joking. No, it's cool. You learned through that. And that was actually my first rental we had. I learned so much from it as well. You know, people, you know, smoke a pot, you know, near rentals and stuff like that. It's just crazy. You run into some really weird things, but it's rewarding in the end, you know, if you can do it right and you learn throughout the process. But man, it's been awesome. I don't want to keep you. I know you're busy, dude. You're out there crushing the real estate industry. So thank you, man, for joining on. Is there anywhere where people can maybe find you? You have social media or anything that people can follow you at?
Yeah, Michael. Well, it's been awesome being on the show, man. I super appreciate it. Yeah, our Instagram, Facebook is at Moody and Company, or it's at Moody Company KW.
Okay.
So gotcha. At Moody Company KW. And if you guys want to shoot me an email or ask me any questions, it's jordan@moodycompany.com.
Okay. Awesome, man. Well, I'll put that in the links below. So guys, make sure you click those links, follow Jordan and let him know that I sent you over there. And yeah, I can't wait to update you guys, on what we're going to be doing with Jordan and all them in the future. Can't wait to see what God does through this partnership. So guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Real Estate Success Strategies podcast. We are releasing these every single week, every Tuesday. So make sure you're subscribing. Just leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. If you really liked one podcast, just leave us a review so we know. Because who knows, we may bring these people back on eventually in the future if you like them. If you like Jordan. I don't know if you like Jordan or not. So I'm messing with you, man. But no, guys. So make sure you also join the free Facebook group, the Real Estate Success Group. The link's below. So make sure you get in there. We have all kinds of free trainings. You get to see walkthroughs of me walking through nasty houses all the time. And maybe you can even just get in there and laugh at me. So anyways, guys, thank you for everything. Have a great day, guys. God bless. And we'll see you on the next episode.